T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Yes, Campy.
Had the best chicken and waffles I've ever had at Sweetwater. I believe it was a special at the time. It was a red velvet waffle.
Oh, now you're talking.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good morning right there.
It was incredible. It was a great, I think, afternoon. Either way.
Either way.
Fantastic.
No disrespect. I think I'm good on chicken and waffles.
The combination?
Yeah.
Is there a particular reason, or do you feel like it's been culturally appropriated and so you're uncomfortable ordering it in public?
First of all, yeah. And two, like, I just like my food separated.
Okay.
Like, I don't like things touching. Like
you can
that.
Have them separate if you want, but it, to me, it's a great salty sweet. You get the salt from the chicken and then you get the sweet from the syrup.
Salt diabetes and the sugar diabetes.
I mean, whatever it takes.
Two birds, one stone.
It's great for that. It's really outstanding.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Both shocking and not shocking at all that even though yesterday's show, Joe Madden gave us a whole bunch of gold, Patrick Manley gave us a whole bunch of gold, I thought for sure that today's open was going to be Joe Madden talking about the zombie apocalypse. But of course, Tony decides that he wants to do an open to the show that spotlights him.
I have a
theory.
That
puts him in the middle of things yet again.
I don't know that Tony actually listens to the show except for the parts where he is contributing.
That's fair, Campy. That's really, really fair. I'm like, oh, for sure. With where we had Joe Madden yesterday tell us that if he was in a zombie apocalypse, he'd be the last man standing. But of course, Tony doesn't like chicken and waffles. So let's put that forward in the show.
That's right.
Because that's what we were about yesterday.
That's right.
Yep, not a surprise. Welcome into the show. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. We got a fun show ahead. We are at the Miller Lite Beer Garden here at Navy Pier, and we got our 670 The Score booth where you can qualify. You can put in a ticket so that you can get tickets to see the Bears tomorrow from the Miller Lite Loft. So we are going to be here until 2. McNeil and Parkins are going to be here until 6. So there's a lot of opportunity. It is a beautiful day to be out on Navy Pier, and I'm glad that we are here. And hopefully if you're in the area, and I know that Navy Pier, like almost no one is like in the area of Navy Pier, but if you're within the sound of my voice and you want an opportunity to maybe win Bears tickets for tomorrow, you should come down here and qualify. I think it will be a lot of fun. I've seen a lot of fans from Green Bay walking. They are enjoying the city. So there's a lot of cool stuff going on. But we start the show, as we start all things, with the rundown.
Just faxing my dad a rundown.
The rundown.
We start the rundown for Wednesday, September 4th with this. If you were wondering, hey, what might it cost to get Mitchell Trubisky nice and extended? Well, you now have a little bit of a template. If you look at the deals of Carson Wentz and now Jared Goff, that got himself a whole bunch of guaranteed money. And congratulations, Jared Goff.
Cooks left, Woods the slot, back to the left of Goff in the gun. Receiver right, snap back, Goff, big push up front. Pocket starts to close, his ball is thrown, it's intercepted. Here comes Roquan, right 20, 15, 10, inside the 5 and out of bounds. The pocket was tight, the ball came out wobbly, and Roquan with the swipe.
Oh, did I mess up Jared Goff's day by playing the interception that he gave to Roquan Smith when the Bears dominated that Rams offense last year at Soldier Field. Oh, my bad. So Jared Goff gets a $134 million extension that includes an NFL record $110 million guaranteed. That boy got paid. So if you're looking for, well, where's the area where Mitch might be? That right there is the neighborhood that 10 wants to live in. He wasn't the only one who got paid. Ezekiel Elliott also got paid.
Their first drive of the second half begins with Elliott breaking it into the secondary, and it's a foot race, and he will not be touched. Wondering what his 60-yard time is? Check it out.
Yeah, Zeke got broke off and now is the highest paid running back in the game. So that ends his holdout. I'm curious if I imagine that he will play on Sunday, but I know that he's been working out in Cabo and all that good stuff. But that usually feels like and the Bears didn't have this problem last year with guys that weren't in camp. But that usually feels like a guy who's gonna pull a hammy sooner rather than later. When they hold out that long. But good for him. He got his cash, and that's what it's about. And got his cash 2 years early, by the way. So impressive for him. Meanwhile, nothing seems to be able to stop the St. Louis Cardinals.
There it is. A long one in a deep left. Big Ack Land.
Yeah, the Cardinals did what they had to do last night. It wasn't pretty, but they got another really good start. They are at one point, these guys were 41-41. And now the Cardinals are 78-60. Think about that. 500 team on July 1st, 78-60 right now. They hold a 3-game lead over your Chicago Cubs. And a 7-game lead over the Milwaukee Brewers.
And a high fly ball deep right center. That is way back. That is a three-run bomb. Eric Thames sends one out of here for number 20.
20th home run for Eric Thames. The Brewers win. They are 4 games behind the Cubs for the final wild card spot. In the wild card division, the division that now the Cubs sit in, they are 3.5 games behind Washington for that home game. They are 2.5 up on Philadelphia, 3.5 up on Arizona, and 4 games up on the Milwaukee Brewers. Speaking of a little baseball in town, well, this was out of town, but you know what I mean. Southside, White Sox. Yesterday, it's been real quiet for the White Sox offense and Aloy and McCann, but not yesterday.
Moncada at first, one down. And Aloy hits that ball well center field. Allen looks up. He's at the wall, and it's off the fence. Moncada to third. Throw coming to the plate, and he is safe. RBI double. Aloy Jimenez, and the Sox are just better when he's showing that power.
The inning scores.
That ball's hammered left center field. Aloy testing the wall, and he wins this time. We are tied at 2. He's been grand slam feeder. A homer would tie the game as this ball's hit well. Left field. Bauer's back. It is gone. He did it again. Late power from James McCann. We're tied. Oh, and he hung that one. Aloy to right field. Puig back at the warning track. It is gone over the wall. That got over the line and out of here for a White Sox lead.
The White Sox would go on to win, and man, do they need it. They've been stuck on 60 wins for a really long time. So now they find themselves with 61 wins. Dylan Cease pitched in the game and was talking about his change.
I threw it in warm-ups, and I had a really good feel, and then we threw a couple in the game, and they were down in the zone, and I just, after that, I felt very comfortable throwing it. And previous games hasn't been as much like that, so it was more of, you know, I threw a couple good ones, and I had a good feel for it.
On to the Cubs. By the way, we're going to talk about the White Sox exclusively at 1 o'clock today. So if you were yesterday, they did make the call up, some of their call ups, and Luis Robert wasn't one of them. We're going to talk about that at 1 today. So be here for that if you are a White Sox fan. The Cubs got some people back yesterday. Ben Zobrist led off for them. Wilson Contreras was in the middle of the lineup. Welcome back, Willie.
Cubs and Mariners are scoreless. Here's the 1-1. Contreras swings. Drives one to deep left field. Forget about it. Gone. Welcome back, Wilson Contreras. Cubs lead 1-0.
Yeah, I was saying that. Zach with the call. Wilson Contreras also just missed another home run. He was locked in against Felix Hernandez. Locked. I wonder how that fell for him. I don't know if anyone talked to him about, you know, going up against a Venezuelan legend and taking care of business. He wasn't the only one that was back. Ben Zobrist got on base and also flashed some leather.
Here comes the 2-1. Seager swings, rips one onto the ground. Diving stop on the outfield grass by Zobrist. Throw to first. Got him. Ben Zobrist making an impact with the glove.
He was. He made an impact with the glove. He had a couple of really good at-bats. He was happy to be back with his guys. And Joe Maddon was happy to have him back in the lineup for sure. Everyone's favorite Cub, though, Nicholas Castellanos, keeps doing magnificent stuff.
Here comes the 0-1. Castellanos swings. Drives one to deep right field. Way back. Going back is Smith. He looks up. It's gone. A three-run home run by Nicholas Castellanos. Cubs lead 5-0.
He might be the best trade that happened this year. If you look at the production that he's put up for the Cubs since joining the Cubs, it's pretty magnificent. Joe Maddon said that this win was a team win.
Well, Zoe, the first strikeout, whatever, but after that you saw the at-bat. The same bunny put down in Los Angeles a couple years ago. It was kind of nice to see that all on his own. But Schwarber, I mean, that looked pretty outstanding. And, of course, Castellanos continues his run. Contreras, he looked mid-season form right there. Wonderful to see. And Addison continues to play a great shortstop. Johnny got through that tough first inning, fortunately, and then getting six out of that was pretty impressive because he had some really long innings early on, pitch number-wise. But that was large in regards to being able to parcel out the bullpen. So kind of a complete game team victory.
Big win for the Cubs, especially since the Cardinals don't seem like they want to lose. So you got to try and keep pace and keep yourself in a good distance before the last 2 weeks of the season where the Cubs and the Cardinals will play seven games against each other. Cubs have the day off today before starting a four-game series on Thursday. Bears news. Up to Halas Hall we go as the Bears get ready to take on Green Bay. Matt Nagy has this update on the status of Trey Burton.
Trey has been limited the last couple of days.
Yep.
Is that getting better, and what does he still need to show you to play Thursday?
So I feel like it is getting slightly better, but again, we'll make that decision here as we go, and it'll end up being, you know, pretty much a game time decision, and I think that's all we can really do right now, and so, you know, we're prepared both ways.
So game time decision for tight end Trey Burton tomorrow. We shall see. By the way, we are at the Miller Lite Beer Garden, and we have got a pair of tickets to the Miller Lite Loft. If you're down here, you should put your name in the hat so you can qualify, and maybe you can go see the game tomorrow. All right. That's not all that Matt Nagy had to say. Like you, he's concerned about the kicking, but he thinks that there's a really good way to not be that concerned about the kicking.
Yeah, so I want to see a lot of extra points. You know, I don't want field goals. So, and that's nothing against him. That's just the mindset that we have as an offense. And then if he gets a chance to go out there, then see him really have that confidence going out there and putting it through. And then whatever happens, we play it out. And we just stay positive throughout the day, not just with him, but we as a staff and we as players.
We shall see. And remember, he did miss the extra point. It was pretty awful. But we'll see. And hopefully Eddie kicks well because he seems like he's got a good attitude and it seems like he could be a fun dude. And maybe you stumbled upon a guy with a great leg and something to contribute to your team. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and the first ever 8-passenger Hyundai Palace 8. This segment is being brought to you by Nutrisystem. See how simple losing weight can be with Nutrisystem. The meals come to your door, you eat the food and lose weight. Order at Nutrisystem.com/radio. Restrictions apply. Call or see website for details. Bears, Packers. The season starts tomorrow. Our preview starts after a timeout when we talk with our buddy Anthony Heron. That's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
On the score.
No, not far away. I think there's a good vibe right now within the practice facility and where the guys are at. And then on top of that, with the fans, for our fans being at home, we're looking forward to seeing them come out and get there early and help us out. It's just I go back to last year and how much they helped us last year. It was amazing. So we get a great opportunity here. And like I said, before you know it, it's going to be Thursday night.
Well, we're not quite there yet, but I will tell you that if you're on Navy Pier, you should come down to the Miller Lite Beer Garden, because right outside the Beer Garden, we're qualifying people to win tickets for tomorrow night. You can be hanging out at the Miller Lite Loft to watch the Bears play tomorrow night. You know who they're playing. We all know who they're playing. The NFL put this together, I think, really well. The fact that the Bears and the Packers are going to open up the NFL season in Chicago after the Halas statue and the Peyton statue are put there at Soldier Field. I think it's going to be a fun and electric atmosphere. And now it's just a matter of, what about the game itself? We've been leading up to all of the pomp and circumstance. What about the game? Well, that's why I wanted to make sure that I got the opportunity to talk with Anthony Heron. He joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles for you at Alpamonte Ford. You should be following Anthony on Twitter at Big Ant Heron. You should also watch Anthony Heron on Fox 32. He does a great job with his Bears coverage over there. And he's nice enough to join me today on the show. What's up, sir?
Lawrence, I'm ready, man. I'm so ready for this. A couple years ago when Mitch first came into this thing, and everybody's like, man, what's going to happen with this Mike Glennon dude? And did they overpay him? I was ready for that. I was ready for the Mike Glennon experience just because it was the symbolic on movement from Jay Cutler, and I thought the quarterback room was going to be a lot more interesting with how that played out between Mitch and Glennon and when he'd take the field. I was so ready for last season because it was the potential rebirth of the Chicago Bears as a fun franchise, as a team that folks are going to be looking to watch. And then after they were on national TV a couple of times early in the season, we certainly saw how everybody wanted to watch them more and more and more. And now I'm ready to watch the Bears as the hunted. I'm ready to watch this team as a squad that folks around the NFL are probably starting to get tired of hearing about, because they haven't won a playoff game yet, and they're one of the most talked about franchises in the league, and it feels like there's no real holes in their roster. And you got Green Bay running backs talking about how they bleed red just like we do, and basically you get the sense that folks are feeling like the Bears have kind of been anointed. And, old Hawkeye Denny Green is kind of, you're going to, wait for him at the podium to talk about the Bears and who we thought they were. All these things going into this season. And now we're finally, just over 24, 30 hours away or something like that from it finally kicking off. So I'm very ready for tomorrow night.
All right, so let's talk about this from a practical standpoint, because you bring up a lot of great points about the perception of the Bears and them kind of putting the league on notice last year, which I think is a good thing. I want to talk about how last year, at least early on, it looked as if the Bears had a strategic advantage against Green Bay because Matt Nagy was able to hide a lot of his looks. His looks weren't necessarily on tape with the personnel. And now I'm wondering, does Green Bay now have that advantage with Matt LaFleur? And now you put that together with probably the most talented quarterback in the NFL. What does that look like if you're Chuck Pagano trying to prep for this?
It definitely gives Green Bay a schematic advantage, without a doubt. And you referenced last year with the Bears. We saw them lining Charles Leno up outside the numbers at receiver and motioning big guys around and some of the Wildcat stuff they did and everything that came to the table. And we saw it initially there on opening night against Green Bay last season. And, we saw it pretty frequently early in the year. And Matt Nagy and Mark Helfrich did a nice job of constantly mixing in more of that throughout the season as it kind of went on. But I think the difference was last season's Green Bay Packers defense wasn't near what this season's Chicago defense is. And so where that schematic advantage will certainly play a part, I think when it comes down to it, you're going to need to see Matt LaFleur getting the ball out of the hands of Aaron Rodgers in pretty quick fashion. And that's what the Bears should be prepared for. We saw as the season went on last year and folks really got a sense for how dominant the Bears pass rush could be. That was a very frequent element that Chicago faced week in and week out. And, you know, having a fairly healthy squad, you know, it was one thing when Khalil Mack kind of dinged up the ankle and folks felt like they could hold the ball a little bit more. Aaron Rodgers will be well suited to make sure he's not holding the ball too long until perhaps you get a little deeper into a drive or you find some moments in game where you make sure you got, you know, one of these mouthy running backs, you know, trying to chip on him and make sure there's extra attention being paid over there. Because I don't think you want to leave any tackle on an island with Khalil Mack for too long. So if nothing else, just the imprint that the Bears pass rush can have on the game between Mack and Hicks and hopefully, you know, Leonard Floyd starts off on a high note since he's coming into the season healthy. What they bring to the table from a pass rush standpoint should in a lot of ways simplify, if nothing else, the fact that the defensive backs for the Bears can be a bit more aggressive in coverage with the thought that they don't need to anticipate Aaron Rodgers holding the football very long, I don't think.
The man with all the bass in his voice is Anthony Heron. Big Ant Heron is where you can find him on Twitter. He is one of our analysts here at The Score, and he does a phenomenal job in doing it. Looking at Aaron Rodgers under Mike McCarthy versus what might be with Matt LaFleur, what things do you think were missing from the Packers' offense, and what things do you think we might see over this 16-game schedule?
Audibilizing became a big part of the discussion here throughout the preseason process, but they got plenty of practice reps regardless of the fact that Aaron Rodgers wasn't out there in any of the preseason games. And I feel like what Matt LaFleur is going to bring to the table is a willingness to run a wider variety of route tree with a bit more imagination, having multiple receivers via bunch sets, via levels concepts, where you have, you know, a similar route being run to similar quadrants of the field, but having multiple receivers at different depths running those. It's become more prevalent in the NFL in doing that now, especially when you have a quarterback who can throw with the precision of Aaron Rodgers. And so if you, whether it ends up as, you know, what we think of as a scissors concept where receivers cross later in the route tree, or if they're running, you know, similar post concepts, one of the posts is more shallow, one of the posts is deeper, and then you put the depth of your coverage in a bind because you have the opportunity for a quarterback to complete a more intermediate pass or attempt something that's a bit deeper. And some of those concepts, when you have multiple routes running to the same quadrant of the field, don't necessarily take a long time to develop, but those are things that you didn't necessarily see Mike McCarthy doing as much of. It's one thing to allow Aaron Rodgers to go out there and audibilize pre-snap and use different motions and trade formations here and there, but to actually have something where he's looking at routes that will put more pressure, more onus on defensive backs to make decisions, to make difficult, critical decisions during a route tree, and then having Aaron Rodgers with the ability to exploit that in the middle of the play. I believe that's going to be the biggest growth because, you know, we've seen quick pass from Green Bay. That was something that Aaron Rodgers developed more and more. He used to be early in his career a guy who wanted to hold the football, and he took a lot of sacks as he's gotten older, wiser, more decisive with his throws. We still do see some of that improvisational wizardry that's there, but at this stage in his development, I don't believe for Green Bay to have success, that will, it certainly can't, I don't believe, be a constant for them. The quick passing game, regardless of the experience of the wide receivers that he's working with, that's something that can still happen, but I believe with a more refined, a more modern route concept that's going to happen on the back end.
Okay, so there are two things that concern me, and I wanted to get your temperature on this, Ant. One, and they both have to do with the defensive backfield of the Bears. Now, last year, Fuller and Mukamara, they were fantastic, and you saw them not only get the accolades from their peers, but also, like, Pro Football Focus had those guys ranked very high last year. They did a great job. With Chuck Pagano coming in, the one concern that I have with him being maybe a little bit more blitz-heavy versus what Vic did is putting those guys on an island. I don't feel like that's necessarily a strength. I'm not saying that they're weak in man coverage. I'm just saying that it's not necessarily a strength for them versus having safety help over the top. The other part is them having Buster Skrine. And Buster Skrine struggled last year with the Jets. And I keep wondering, is the slot going to be where Aaron Rodgers finds his money tomorrow? You know, is that where what he attacks? So I'd love to know your thoughts on it. Is that a legitimate fear to have going into this game?
Sure, I think it is. And especially when opponents get the Bears into spread sets where not only can you potentially have both Kyle Fuller and Prince Amukamara on an island, but to put their safeties on islands as well, where it makes the help available to those safeties or to the corners via the safeties more difficult to manage. And then you get where you've got, you know, Buster Screen out there defending the slot as well. And I don't think we'll necessarily see, you know, a prevalence of man blitz. You know, as you know, you can go with zone pressure as well, where you're dropping the Leonard Floyds of the world into coverage quadrants where you can try to make up for that space. And it puts the onus on the offense, on the quarterback, to try and make those quick reads where you're not putting a linebacker in a position to get a deflection, or, you know, sometimes a defensive lineman in a position to close up a throwing window. Because if Aaron Rodgers, if the opposing quarterback has to pat the football, then that's where the pass rush should be getting home, when you have pressure coming from one spot. And quite often you'll see a quarterback trying to exploit that pressure by throwing into the same spot where a zone may have been voided for a moment because of the blitz coming. We saw situationally last year where Kyle Fuller and Prince Amukamara were both fairly handsy in coverage. Neither one of them necessarily has an issue getting up and invading the personal space of a wide receiver, and I love it when they do that. The issue is that, yes, like you're referencing, it puts you up, it sets you up to perhaps be exposed over the top, or exposed if a quarterback has the ability to pat the football for a moment and perhaps have a double move going to a wide receiver. As of right now, with what's available to Aaron Rodgers for his wide receivers, for his weapons on the outside, Jimmy Graham still has some game. Devontae Adams is the main wide receiver that he's shown that level of confidence with. The Bears have been great at the contested pass. You know, those 50-50 balls is where Devontae Adams is pretty good at those, and certainly is good after the catch as well. But once you get beyond him, there's not necessarily receivers that Aaron Rodgers can work with or throw the ball to who've proven themselves consistently on those contested grabs. So as long as no one's running scot-free, I think if anything, in losing Adrian Amos at the safety position, you're going to, I believe, be even more adept in pass coverage at the safety position. Ha-ha Clinton Dix, he's not a great tackler. He has not proven himself throughout his NFL career to consistently be a great tackler, but that's where Deion Bush, and I was saying this even last season when Eddie Jackson ends up getting hurt, that Deion Bush coming into the game late in the season, they were a better tackling secondary with Deion Bush on the field, because at the safety position, he's the best tackler the Bears have had, and that's pretty much been the case since he got drafted. Pass coverage is where Deion Bush needed to continue to hone his game. So as a new defensive coordinator, will Chuck Pagano have the ability to find situations where perhaps Deion Bush is in the game as opposed to Ha-Ha Clinton Dix in certain situations? But with Ha-Ha and Eddie back there in the secondary, I believe they can spread the field, they can help, they can cover more ground than most safety combinations in the league can. And Green Bay isn't a squad that I anticipate trying to come in and exploit the fact that neither Eddie nor Ha-Ha is really that interested in running the alley against the run that consistently.
We are very lucky to have Anthony Heron as one of our NFL and Bears experts talking about the game the way that he does. Anthony, I want to know from you, what in year two of Nagy and Trubisky should we be able to see as far as growth goes? Like, what's on that checklist of yours that I know is going to be sitting in front of you on your notepad?
The decisiveness of Mitch, regardless of whether complete or incomplete, is something we'll want to see more consistent from off the bat this year. You know, early in the season last year, where, you know, he's getting the play call in, he's trying to compute it in his own mind and communicate it out to his teammates, and you could just see his wheels spinning as he's going through the snap, and as he's holding the ball in his pocket or in the pocket, his feet would get more happy, start to bounce around. He's coming off of the first read really quickly and then just starting to evacuate the pocket and run around and extend the play. And some of those things would end up working out well for him, but quite frequently it didn't. And it led to errant passes or turnovers or things that weren't necessary if he was willing to hang in the pocket. And as the season went on, that's more and more of what we saw from Mitch. And so been opening this season, to have him willing to sit in the pocket and survey the coverage more like he was doing at the end of the season last year, that to me, it'll be a concerning sign if right off the bat tomorrow night. Mitch isn't hanging in the pocket and trying to deliver the football, even if it's not a great pass every time, but looking for the mental growth of him as a quarterback, the comfort, the confidence, not only in the pass protection in front of him, but in trusting what his eyes see and a willingness to deliver the ball from within the pocket decisively. Go through reads, get rid of it, cut it loose. We'll see growth throughout the season, I believe, just in continued accuracy, continued diagnosis of the coverage, but a willingness for Mitch to trust himself, to trust his eyes, to trust his acumen in diagnosing coverage, which was certainly a struggle for him 2 years ago, continued to be a struggle early in the season last year, improved as the year went on, and should continue to improve this season. Part of that will come down to trust. If he trusts what he's seeing, if he's confident in what he's reading on the back end, the ball should consistently come out of his hands on time without him needing to leave the pocket, without him needing to run around and roll around and try to extend plays, because quite often he would run himself into pressure last year because he just wasn't certain what he was looking at from a coverage standpoint, and teams knew that. Teams were able to say, let's throw some zone at him, let's match up in different spots here, let's roll on the back end, let's do some things that we feel like can confuse this young QB, and then maybe he'll just run himself into trouble or throw us the ball. And that happens sometimes. He got better and better at that as the season went on. We need to see that early this year. Even if it's an errant pass on occasion, what I'll look for is how comfortable and confident does Mitch look just in delivering the ball from the pocket. Then the rest of it can continue to grow from there. But it's about how comfortable and confident does he look in diagnosing what coverages are being thrown at him.
Anthony, I got about 60 seconds left, and I'm sorry that I'm putting you in this position with that little time, but as someone who grew up here, what did it mean to you to see the statues of Halas and Peyton go up yesterday?
It was so great. It really was, man. I mean, for me, I was always the biggest and youngest kid in my class, but regardless of that, I wanted to be Walter Payton. You know, I was out there running around, wanting to be a running back, wanting to be like Sweetness, and to see the Payton statue, the Halas statue go up. Actually, I took my son out in the stroller yesterday, and we walked over to Soldier Field just to kind of stroll by there. We strolled up to Buckingham Fountain. We did a bunch of walking around yesterday just because I wanted to lay my eyes on it. And of course, tomorrow night I'll be a bit busy with the Fox 32 crew, but it meant a lot as a guy growing up here as a Bears fan. And we've seen the Jordan statue, and we can see the Pippen bust at the UC and everything else. But to see these great pillars of Chicago football, of the National Football League in general, now honored in that way in a commemorative fashion, really meant a lot.
Anthony, fantastic stuff as always. You can watch Anthony and his Bears coverage on Fox 32. You can hear him be one of our experts here on The Score all throughout the day. He's phenomenal. You should be following him on Twitter at Big Ant Heron. Sir, I appreciate you. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
Loho, I know you're going to be out there in the mix, man. You have fun too.
I am, yes, we are definitely doing that. That is a Big Ant Heron, Anthony Heron, one of our analysts here at The Score. And yes, tomorrow I'm doing my post-game show. Our pregame show, we're going to do it from Grant Parks and be suited and booted and looking at some of the people that we might get to interview over at NBC Sports Chicago. I'm getting really excited about our coverage, which we're doing a special pregame tomorrow at 6. So if you're near television at 6 o'clock tomorrow, make sure that you watch us on NBC Sports Chicago.
Can I
if
pull up?
You're driving around, yes, Tony?
I said, can I pull up? I'll be there.
Yeah, pull up. You should pull up. There's a lot of stuff going on. But if you are in the car, listen to The Score's pregame coverage because it's going to be pretty amazing as well. Bottom of the Hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Your Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves will open the season on Saturday, October 5th. For group and season tickets, visit chicagowolves.com. We need to take a time out. When we come back, the kicking has been a huge story in the preseason. Eddie Pinheiro has won the kicking job for now. Patrick Manley was on with me yesterday, and he went in depth about what it is that you need to be looking for with Pinheiro throughout the season. I'm going to share that with you next here on The Score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Four. So, funny story from this week, or I guess technically last week. We we did all of our promo stuff over at NBC Sports Chicago. So you'll see him. Like, we do, like, funny commercials, basically, where we're talking about... You'll see. I don't want to spoil them, but maybe you've already seen a couple of them for our coverage on the Football After Show. And Briggs says to me, he goes, man, I'm really excited about doing the radio show again. And I go, Lance, I got promoted. My show is on from noon until 2 now. And he's like, well, wait, well, who am I going to be doing the shows with? I said, well, it'll be Joe Ostrowski most of the times that you're doing the show. He's like, for real? I was like, yes. I was like, Joe was my right-hand man. He was the executive producer of the show. So you're in really, really good hands. And so I said to him, I said, I'll figure out a time to come in and hang out with you both if it makes sense. And guess what? Tonight's going to be the night. So if you are in Countryside tonight, Lance Briggs is going to be there with Joe Ostrowski at Timeout Sports Bar. We've been there before. It's a great place. Right there on 60th and LaGrange. I'm going to go out there and hang out too. I'll do the official intro of Joe and Lance and hang out and do a little talk. And then I'm going to let them handle it. But these shows, our Miller Lite Top Draft shows, are fantastic. And it's because of people like Lance Briggs and Olin Krutz. And it'll be fun. I promise you. So if you're in Countryside tonight, go out, see them. The show starts at 7 o'clock. At Timeout Sports, and you're going to be able to enter for a chance to win Bears tickets, and you'll watch Briggsy do his radio thing, and I will be there for a little bit as well to help out and hang out and all that good stuff. Maybe I'll have a drink while I'm there tonight. We'll see. But go out to Timeout Sports in Countryside tonight, 7 to 8:30. Lance Briggs is going to be there with Joe Ostrowski, and I have left him in very good hands because Joe is a star in our business. And if you haven't listened to what he's doing on the nighttime show, you are missing out because he is crushing it right now. All right. We'd like to crush it on this show when we have great guests. We just talked with Anthony Heron, who's fantastic. We had Patrick Manley on, and I really would suggest you go back and listen to the whole thing because it was super good. And you'll be able to hear Patrick Manley on our pregame show tomorrow. But there was something specific that I wanted to talk with Patrick about. And it's because of his years as a special teams ace. I wanted to pick his brain about kicking. He was nice enough to accommodate and go really in depth on the things that you need to look for when watching Eddie Pinheiro.
I was fine with it. I've heard a lot of people talk about they brought in so many people and they went about all this. The Sports Illustrated article where guys are complaining that they weren't treated right. I'm like, come on, man, be a big boy. It's a professional football. You got to go in there and earn the job. You don't need a pat on the back every day. That's your own job to do that. I just, that article I thought was a little interesting with guys complaining and not putting their name to it. But Lawrence, it's tough. I've got a list of names that are available now after the cuts, and I'm not sure if anyone on there is better than Cody Parkey, who is available. And that just kind of tells you where we stand with the kicking in the National Football League. It goes up and down, same with punters and snappers, that sometimes there's 25 real good ones out of 32 and 7 fluctuate. I think we're down to 20, and it's just a tough position right now to find, you know, a good one. And let's just hope Eddie goes in there and kicks great for the next couple of weeks and builds some confidence and becomes a very good NFL kicker.
What beyond the makes could a fan look at, and maybe we can't, maybe we don't have enough knowledge to know that we could look at with Eddie and go, hey, Eddie's going well or Eddie's not going well?
It's easy. It's just how he makes them. Are they down the middle third of the upright? And it's that simple. I watched all his kicks from preseason and practice and in games. I know he went 8 for 9, but a lot of his makes are still on the outer third of the goalpost. And I'll go back to Robbie Gould and all of his kicks he made, and he's so consistent. And one reason why he's so good, all the good ones are good, Justin Tucker, they make it down the middle third. So there's really a little bit of error for them to push it left to right, but it's still going to go in. And that's what the fans should watch. See where his makes are. It's not just a game, does the ball go in? The great ones make it down the middle, and that's how they can make 85-plus, is because if they do miss it a little bit, it's still going in. Not if they pull it and it's down the left third and they miss it, it would be something like maybe his PAT kick. But that's the thing to look at. See how he makes his kicks. Are they down the middle of the upright?
If you were his long snapper, how would you approach dealing with what happened before and making sure that he's confident even after a miss that nothing bad's going to happen to him.
I always just left everybody alone, and we did it with Robbie. And I learned from a good one, Jeff Jaeger, that was back here in 1998, had a long, long career in the NFL with the Raiders and Bears, I think one other team. If he missed one, he would run off the field and be like, oh, that's all right, I'm going to make my next 10. And he had it in his own brain that he was okay. He was fine. And then you really don't want to get into their head or talk to them about it. To me, it's something you just have to work through on your own. It was even with me, if I was having an off day snapping where I just kind of felt like I didn't have it, I didn't want people talking to me. I just kind of wanted to work through it myself and figure it out and get on the practice field and work by myself and maybe get an outside eyes on it to give me their opinion. But I think truly it's just up to the player in that position. And it's like a golfer that you just got to stay confident and believe that you're going to hit the next fairway, believe you're going to hit the next, you know, the kick. So that's, I wouldn't say anything to him.
So that was Patrick Manley on the show yesterday. And I think that that's some real good stuff for you to be watching. How does the ball come off of Eddie's foot? Is he hitting the middle third with his kicks, whether it's the extra points or the field goal? So that's something that you can watch for in tomorrow's game. If you want some more football coverage, because I am going to move a little bit to baseball in the 1 o'clock hour, I did a Loho Daily today on David Montgomery, and it was one of the most fun episodes of the podcast I had, because I've never had this happen before, where you ask a bunch of different experts about a player, and each one of them is super excited about it. So there are four experts from different arenas that I asked about David Montgomery. And I did a whole podcast on it. It's the Loho Daily today, because this week on the podcast, I was doing nothing but bear stuff. So there's a couple of really good ones already in there. I did Roquan Smith yesterday and Khalil Mack the day before. But this David Montgomery episode is dope, and you need to check it out. So if you've got the radio.com app, you can find the podcast. If you need that Bears fix, I got you covered. So go take a listen to it. I promise you that you are going to enjoy the hell out of the conversation, because it is exciting what people are saying about that guy. And we'll get to see him unleashed tomorrow as the Bears and the Packers play. So thank you for those of you who already support the podcast, the Loho Daily Podcast. I appreciate it. It's fun to do that pod because it gives me a chance to go in depth in stuff that maybe I might not do or have time to do on the air. So all week Bear stuff and three really good pods this week already. So please go check it out. When we come back, there is a baseball story on the South Side that we need to work through. And so Tony and Campy and I are going to kind of work through it a little bit. I don't know if any of us have drawn any conclusions, but we need to talk about Luis Robert not being on the Major League club. We will do that next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.